Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Rima Katz. The holiday season is approaching, and not only is holiday shopping top of mind, but holiday fraud is as well. This year, merchants need to equip themselves for any potential attacks. To dive deeper into what they should be doing, we're sitting down with Counts VP of Global Sales, Casey Zenner, as well as Brady Harrison, Director of Customer Accounts. We have our own Dan Keyes here as well, who's the Senior Research Analyst of Merchant Services at Mercator Advisory Group. Casey and Brady also give us a glimpse into a recently released survey that focuses on key consumer trends and what holiday purchases, spending habits, and expectations will look like. Casey, Brady, and Dan, it's great to have you with us today. We've seen that holiday fraud peaks during the year-end consumer buying season, and it continues after the rush of returns, refunds, and chargebacks. Fraudsters target the surge period in the hopes that merchants' fraud defenses will be overwhelmed. As the scale and frequency of fraud evolves, Casey, how can merchants equip themselves to proactively respond to attacks?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's such a double-edged sword for many businesses working to try and capture revenue, you know, during their busiest time of the year. You know, the holiday season for many merchants can really make or break their business. So it's imperative that they get it right from many different facets of the business. And when I say get it right, that's a very loose form for a reason, mostly because, you know, there's many variables at play. First and foremost, and this is coming from a guy who sells fraud services saying this, I think it's imperative that merchants capture as much revenue as possible during these handful of months here, which are the biggest, you know, e-commerce boom of the year. And I think it's important for a few reasons. Number one, they want to take a piece of that pie, you know, and with the great projections that we're anticipating for this year and some of the spending trends. And I know we'll cover some of those a little bit more of those projections and the anticipations that we have for spending trends a little bit further in the talk. But what I do know that is important from a number two perspective, when I speak to customers today, it's around the manual review component. And in many cases, they're reviewing too many orders. So if we look at areas of opportunity to reduce the overall risk thresholds that we have, it will really prevent those teams from getting overwhelmed with orders that fall into their status and their queue that they have to do on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. And something else I think is really important for merchants to be thinking about is to equip themselves. And as we get into this holiday hustle, is to leverage data to support other areas of that customer interaction. And this could be looked at twofold. You know, for starters, most merchants have traditionally taken a more reactive approach when it comes to identifying people who interact with their digital properties. And I say that loosely. Talking to people in the subscription space, people in digital gift cards, people in your traditional e-commerce engagement. So it's important for us to be able to think about that customer interaction. And with that reactive approach, many savvy businesses have gathered information the best they can, right? And it's mainly downstream in their attempt to construct profiles to ultimately get to the point where they can achieve repeat and recurring revenue from their customers. Whether it's your first time or the I always raise my hand on this if it's Casey back at Lululemon for the 10th time this month. And where we're seeing a shift is to really help customers experience identity and moving some of that identification process more further upstream. Not only does this create a better customer experience for 99% of your good customers, right? When you think of your total customer base, 99.5% of them have good intentions and have a good customer experience, and that small 1% of your malicious ones. So it's making sure that we leverage data and that understanding of customers to put up adaptive friction where it's necessary. Whether it's somebody like Casey we've seen repeatedly, we want to make sure he has a good experience, or somebody that's not Casey that has all of Casey's credentials that we want to make sure we're looking at. So the other key component of this is, you know, the data that becomes invaluable as you look to manage returns and disputes and chargebacks after that transaction has occurred. And really gone are those days where we have to, this has to be a manual process, how we look at returns from a malicious or fraudulent perspective or disputes or even chargebacks. The data is really there to provide insights on how customers interact with these online stores, whether it's to purchase gift cards or media subscriptions or purchase a brand new pair of Lulu joggers. And now what makes this whole interactive work and is fruitful for everybody is to align yourself with partners that are transparent with that first party data. And I think it's a shame if many companies, you know, have a black box approach or just trust our fraud score, right? If I'm not providing you data and insights as to why we let this customer through or why we block that customer, that's a shame on us as a solution provider to your ecosystem. And remember that the fraud tools you choose to deploy really determine what gets through, what doesn't. So when we start thinking about the holiday season and starting to ease up on some of those type of restrictions. I think it's more beneficial and pragmatic for you as a business to allow orders to come through while keeping your fraud at bay. And the ability to do that today is based on data that provided back to you and how you use that in a more meaningful manner.
I think a key element that Casey is talking about here operationally is that adaptive friction, or the idea of not really setting a line in the sand for all customers, but rather setting that line in the sand for approve or decline or approve based on more information and what's the transaction on its face. And so Count would really process from an operational standpoint using machine learning as part of that adaptive friction analysis. The key in the holiday season is the levels of fraud do peak just because we have more transaction volume in terms of dollars lost, but we really need to sift through those events where it makes sense and not overwhelm your existing operational footprint. From a customer side challenges, that's what we hear a lot from the fraud space. You know, our transactions are going to 3-4x. How do we do more with less? And the easiest way to do that without, you know, taking a bunch of fraud on the chin is using adaptive friction via machine learning. The other option is you kind of just dial down your fraud strategy and just say, hey, we're just going to take this on the chin, minimize the level of friction for all customers, and then deal with, you know, the holiday hangover in January of chargebacks. This can be effective for maximizing sales, but you're going to have a really rough Q1 on your P&L, right? Low sales, you're going to get a lot of chargebacks from where you kind of open the floodgates. So what we would suggest is, hey, can we think about our business and look at, you know, the existing kind of fraud strategy we have and layer in even more machine learning or dial back that machine learning to either limit the operational footprint growth, right? We see a lot of people talk about, hey, our fraud team, we have to hire all these people. Their decision analysis is not very good. It's fairly burdensome. Or can we even reduce by using and layering in that machine learning as an option? So that's the biggest challenge we see, is not only, you know, shifts in your fraud strategy that occur, as well as, you know, operationalizing some policy changes, right? In general, stuff that makes sense in Q1, 2, 3 probably doesn't make sense without adjustment in peak period of Q4. For example, for a traditional e-commerce retailer, we don't see a lot of gift card transactions, high dollar, late, kind of right before in the first three quarters of the year. Maybe Mother's, Father's Day, you see a little bit, but not the kind of stuff that you see in Q4, right? Think about how many gift cards you get as a gift in the first 9 months of the year versus the last two. Massive change, right? And so if you have a policy that, hey, we want to look at or run a risk analysis 3DS every gift card over X dollar value, that might make sense 9 months out of the year. But those last three, how can we protect that customer experience without overwhelming your operational footprint? So to summarize, we really want to make sure, does our fraud strategy in the last quarter of the year align with what the actual, you know, customer behavior is? The easiest way to do that is can be dialing up and down your machine learning. And we want to do that via data, right? So that's the other second important point, is we can do adaptive friction, but that adaptive friction needs to be data driven. And so we need to look at historically what of our, you know, events in X, Y, or Z bucket in machine learning look like from a risk perspective. And we'll use that as a go forward, you know, as a kind of empirical experiment to say, hey, these transactions in general are fine. And so probabilistically, meaning on a percentage basis, the next 1,000 in that bucket are also going to be fine. And so let's use that knowledge and be data driven and transparent to design a strategy that makes sense in Q4. So overall, hey, we can't have the same strategy. It sounds obvious, but you'd be surprised at how many people just take it on the chin and say, yeah, we got to staff up 5x to deal with this, when you could layer in some machine learning and then do some data driven analysis to see where you put that line in the sand for each different kind of environment. And then that overall, we've seen customers either limit growth in their operational footprint or totally reduce, right? You're a lot happier when you don't have to hire 10 extra people. You can actually reallocate those customers for other issues like returns, refunds, disputes that start to crop up as we get later and later into December. That can be a huge operational lift.
Yeah. And, you know, even to double down on that a little bit, that's why I think that balanced approach, Brady, of having machine learning as well as unique business policies, especially during that holiday season, is really critical. You know, even, you know, and I mentioned earlier about, you know, the black box treatment that many organizations get. It's really hard to be dynamic with your fraud strategy during this time of the year if you just kind of have to throw your hands up and be like, well, I got a fraud score and these are the ones we let through and these are the ones we did, without any supplemental data and insight behind that. So that's why I think that, number one, that balanced approach and machine learning, as well as unique business policies that we can determine whether or not we trigger a 3DS rule or whatnot, that's so important. But also, if I'm not giving some of our, from our smallest customer here at Count to the biggest, if I'm not giving them visibility as to why we let this order through or why we declined this one that, you know, could quite frankly end up being your next marquee customer that you see quite frankly on a monthly basis, then that's a problem, right? I think it's our obligation to our partners to make sure we're transparent with that data and that feedback. As much as they may not want to touch as much of the fraud as much anymore, you should at least have data to support why.
And I just want to emphasize how important it is to really consider the customer experience when it comes to these, when it comes to these processes during the holiday season. Obviously, driving sales during the holidays is important for any merchant, but there's a huge loyalty opportunity with each and each customer, whether they are a new customer because it's the holidays and they haven't shopped with you before, or they're just making a really important purchase of a merchant. It's important that their experience with returns, refunds, chargebacks, everything is positive, because it could lead to a continuing relationship and more sales beyond the holidays. But if the experience is poor, if you know, if the processes don't really work on the customer side, that also leads to issues. So it's really important to keep them in mind too as you're trying to navigate fraud over the holidays.
You know, that's such a good point, Daniel. And I could speak to that, just something that happened to me last weekend. So I have a particular retailer that I shop a lot at, right? I have their black card that's available, right, where I get points. And every time I go to check out with this customer, when they know it's Casey coming to them with his device that he always buys goods and services from, they still ask me for my CVV on my their corporate issued credit card to me where I can acquire points. I can't tell how many times I've just opted to check out with Apple Pay or a different form of payment just because I'm relaxing in my TV room and I'm not going to walk out to my car to get my wallet to find the CVV on the back. It's like, use that data. You know, it's me. Create a good customer experience. Let me buy the goods that I want for probably expedited shipping because I hate to wait. Like, convert me and make it a good customer experience. I spend a couple thousand dollars a year with you. Leverage that data to create a good experience. It's something that we can't overshadow enough, is that customer experience.
Absolutely. You know, streamlining processes within reason, obviously, when it comes to fraud is really a valuable tool and something that merchants need to take more advantage of over the holidays.
Count recently released a survey which polled more than 2,000 U.S. adults and looked at the key consumer payment trends that merchants can expect this holiday season. Can you tell us more about the survey?
This survey was designed as we're really all about first-party data here at Count. How can we find information directly from consumers and then see how that can help drive value for our individual customers? So we surveyed 2,000 U.S. adults and asked them questions around their holiday purchase, spending habits, expectations, you know, fears, goals. So the really big insights that we derived is, you know, customers are overall really excited about the holidays, even though there's some kind of cloud over kind of economic function in the United States as a whole. About 25.2% of, you know, people said they were excited, with nearly 50% saying that they were happy or excited, right? Overall positive outlook on the holidays. That said, not total blue skies. About 10% of customers are stressed, with many indifferent as well. I think there's some economic overhang around inflation and other activities kind of in the wider market that are having people be concerned. One of the big insights is we're seeing people are starting their online shopping earlier and earlier. Some of this is naturally reacting to what they're hearing about supply chain issues. Some of it is just expansion of the holiday, you know, season as a whole. It used to be all the stuff was in December, and then we got Black Friday, then Cyber Monday. Now we're seeing kind of Cyber November. So we're seeing more and more customers engage and kind of try to capture and spread out that value for their customers. Some of it are people are early shoppers and they just want to get done, as well as deal with some of these shipping or logistics or supply chain issues. So they're not having to try to get stuff at the very end of the line. What this really means for your business is the peak season and planning is already well underway in, you know, September, right? So we're starting to see that Q2 planning for holidays is starting from an operational standpoint of getting those people signed up and online, rather than waiting until that's a September or October discussion, because you probably already need to have those people hired and in the pipe in, you know, mid to early October, where it used to be, you know, hey, you could get them kind of online in November. Other big part, people are spending between $500 and $1,000. We're seeing a little bit of growth overall, even though there's a little bit of economic overhang. Customers are excited to spend more, and they're spending more earlier and earlier and earlier. So going back a little, we need to delight those customers even earlier. So if you're having a policy change that you think will start the week of Black Friday, that policy or risk adjustment of adaptive friction for peak period might need to start November 1 rather than starting at you know, 1 a.m. on Thanksgiving. So that's a little bit of a paradigm shift in fraud strategy, that the season is moving earlier and earlier. Right? You hear all the jokes about Christmas trees that go up before Thanksgiving. We might want to start thinking about Christmas trees before Halloween, as customers are getting ready to start that purchasing behavior November 1. And so you need to be ready November 1. So I'm sorry to all the Grinches out there. Christmas is coming earlier and earlier every year. 2022 will be no exception.
Yeah, I mean, even think about it through the lens as you as a consumer. I'm already seeing it, like, right over here. I have my own personal laptop up, and I got about 3 different web pages up that they're already offering 40 to 60% off some of the things that I want to buy for myself, as well as things that I want to buy for my kids coming up for the holidays. Like, we're already seeing it from brands today, which is key. And even as a consumer, like, I'm slightly concerned a bit on the shipping delays. Like, hopefully a lot of these have that figured out by now. We've had about a year of dealing with this. Hopefully we've been gearing up for this time. But that's not only what I'm hearing from myself as a consumer, but also what I'm hearing from a lot of the customers that we're talking to is, we're starting earlier. We need to start capturing our ability to make sure we're engaging our customers the right way early and often in this busy time of season. And to Brady's point, yeah, it's not Black Friday anymore. It's the day after Halloween. It's the time is now. So to be thinking about it is going to start much earlier. Like, we heard many customers were talking about holiday preparedness in July, which is smart on them. It's smart to start thinking about how you're going to weather the storm, and also how you're going to be prepared for not only leading up to the holidays, but also how you're going to manage things on the back end through chargebacks and disputes.
Brady, you touched upon some really interesting key findings. I'm curious to hear from you and Casey in terms of, you know, what else really stood out from the study.
Yeah, some other big insights. As expected, we're seeing more and more people engage with a gift card. 83% of consumers are preparing to buy or would buy a gift card in peak 2022 holiday season. And so again, like we talked about earlier, we really need to dial in that fraud strategy for those events. You know, really high risk channel, but we need to make sure that we're delighting the customers. That makes sense, like Daniel talked about. We really want to make sure, can we, you know, grasp and acquire that customer. The other part is we can see that customer experience negatively impacting overall, you know, conversion, right? Hey, what would I do if I saw my transaction get declined, right? Why would that happen? And then what would cause me to kind of flunk out of the purchasing channel if that did happen? The other big insight that we're seeing is kind of in the alternative payment space. While we're seeing growth in buy now, pay later, or BNPL, this is still the minority of transactions. Many consumers said they would engage with some purchases using BNPL, around 80% said they would make some BNPL purchases. That said, around 80% of transactions will still be credit and debit card. So while all payments are really, really hot in 2022, really need to maintain that core competency inside credit and debit transactions, as that's still the vast majority of traffic. The other big insight is around that post-transaction activity. You know, what are they saying about returns and refunds? The most interesting one, you know, a lot of people, hey, I want free shipping, I want free returns. The net new ad that we're seeing is customers are actually starting to hire professional refunding services. If you don't know, we've tightened up the chargeback channel enough, kind of as an industry as a whole, that bad actors are starting to move to that post-authorization fraud to try to, you know, pull one over on their consumers. About 13% of people said they hired a professional refunding service to perform their refund on their behalf, which is a massive increase in what we've seen historically, where we'd maybe see 1 or 2 percentage points. We had double-digit percent of consumers who said they've done a refund have actually hired a professional service to do this refund on their behalf.
Yeah, and there's some other scenarios too that I think are important, Brady. Yeah, we do know that 80% of transactions are still going to happen through credit or debit card type transactions. But there is that big lift. I mean, me personally as a consumer, I really hope my parents opt for the gift card route versus getting me a really bad sweater that will never be worn again. But nonetheless, when I have those access to digital gift cards, or I want to make that customer experience great for my customers, offered in the event, whether it's shipping or whatever the reason why I choose to do a digital gift card route, there's going to be a lot of card testing that goes on in that scenario as well in that side of the house. So there's going to be different types of fraud attacks that a merchant will see, where people are guessing numbers, guessing PIN numbers, and getting access to people's preloaded gift cards. That is an area of fraud that they maybe haven't thought about outside of the traditional just stopping bad credit card or malicious credit card use that point of transaction, there's a litany of different types of fraudulent related activities that we need to be aware of, whether it's gift cards, whether it's account takeover, whether it's card testing, right? I just got a batch of new cards and I'm going to go to this low cost digital download, or we see it a lot with the quick service restaurant, average dollar value pretty low. They're going to be testing a lot of cards there. So whether you're selling cheeseburgers or you're selling high value diamonds, like, fraud doesn't care. They're going to find ways to either manipulate their cards that they have to be utilized in other places, or they're going to get you where it really stings. So be mindful of those other areas of vulnerability that you have within your strategy, within your operational strategy, and just be mindful to make sure you're using data to have the right blocking and tackling in place and deploy adaptive friction where it's necessary.
And gift cards are, again, really important for creating a positive customer experience. You know, it might be a new consumer who's getting a card for the first time or someone who's already a fan. But if you can use that card in-store or online, if you can easily check the balance, there's a lot of flexibility with it and, you know, ease of entry of information. It just creates a much better experience that might, you know, create a longer lasting, more lucrative customer relationship. There's a lot to gift card management. And that's something that merchants really need to keep in mind on top of the really important fraud aspects of it as well.
Yeah. And so getting into kind of, we're moving into like the operational, like blocking and tackling of managing this stuff. A big part of it is, you know, make sure that you have insight into these metrics. It's going to be really hard to manage your strategy for gift cards or refunds or chargebacks if you don't have insights into how that channel is performing and what are volumes like, you know, what are the key KPIs we're measuring. So a really important part is to, you know, collate and find that data and then analyze and, you know, look at trends to see, are we, you know, having a gap here and how could we potentially fill that gap? We are seeing this as a fairly significant issue moving into peak 2022 for refunds. The kind of left hand sometimes always doesn't know what right hand is doing when it comes to refunds and returns. You know, the fraud team is managing fraud. The customer care and the order management system logistics is handling refunds and returns. You know, bringing that data together can be really helpful to see, hey, we're seeing a lot of item not received returns or a lot of empty box returns. That is important that you kind of have visibility of the fraud team kind of seeing that stuff, because it's all P&L, right? A chargeback and a refund where you don't get return receipt of the goods are, you know, fairly similar to your business in terms of you gave away something for free. And so looking at those business policies to see how and where we apply friction in different kinds of environments, the very first thing is you got to measure it. So you can't manage what you can't measure. So having that data available for your analytical teams to look at and think about will be critical to kind of manage that post-holiday activity. Operationally, this means look at how and where you allow refunds or how and where you allow gift card purchases or returns or chargebacks. So you can kind of dial in that dispute and, you know, aftercare strategy before you start to have problems in January.
A lot of great data was shared. And for our listeners, there's a link to access the recent report from Counts in the article below on paymentsjournal.com. Casey, Brady, and Dan, I want to thank you for your insights and perspective and hope to have you back on our podcast soon.